First things first, my name is Jenna Wolf. His name is Chris Carter. He's in the Hall of Fame. This is Nick Wright right here, and we have a great 3 hours of sports programming.
Who am I?
Nick Wright. Nick, get it right. There I try go. To be cute, and it never works, so
well,
I'm
you called
stick
me
to
Neck Wright. That's not cute. It's just not my name.
Of course.
Oh, thank
it's
you, Jenna.
Be the first thing
appreciate
I see.
That.
Hey, LeBron James speaks out on the Lakers offseason. Wait till you hear what he has to say. Big Ben, he's taken some steps to make things right with his teammates. But we have to start with Odell, who was officially introduced to the city of Cleveland yesterday. The star wide receiver sat next to his BFF, Jarvis Landry, and his new quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Waxed a little poetic about all things winning with this Browns team. The three hoping to form one of the most exciting offenses in the NFL. And while he did say he was shocked when he found out he was being traded out of New York, he is more than ready for his next and newest chapter in Cleveland.
I'm excited to be a part of something like this, a team that has been ascending and kind of just changing this culture, starting with him and him changing the culture into a winning culture. That's all I care about is winning. As it all settled in, I'm very excited about this, and I think that it's going to be one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life. At the end of the day, I know where I'm at in life. I don't need to be in New York. I don't need to be in LA. I could be in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Like I could, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I've created this what I would call a legacy. So it never really crossed my mind, like, oh, going to Cleveland or worrying about marketing or worrying about any of that. I care about football. I care about winning. Like all the extra, I didn't step into this game to be famous. I didn't, you know, that's just what fell into my lap. But we talked about legendary, we talked about a legacy, we talked about gold jackets. That's our conversations. It never was about no money, it never was about any of that. It's about being a legend. And I think that, you know, this is our everyday live. We do this every single day. Y'all come in here and we ask questions and we're up here answering. But I think this moment is gonna be more iconic than we all realize.
Well, shout out to Sheboygan there. Cece, what are your expectations now for Odell as he gets ready to start this next chapter in Cleveland with the Browns?
Well, for one, in seeing Odell go through this transition, because it's very, very hard for young people, especially in professional sports, when you think it's something else. With him and Jarvis Landry, they spoke it into existence. So they've been talking about playing together since they were kids. But when you get to the NFL, a lot of times it's totally different than what you expect. And Odell's life did change when he got drafted by the Giants. Great organization, very, very respectable in New York City. And they had an iconic quarterback in Giants as far as Eli. What he's going to in Cleveland is totally different. So I like the fact that he's recognizing what he's been through. I like the fact that he's embracing where he is. I like the fact that he realizes it doesn't matter. All NFL cities are very good. And he doesn't have to be in some type of big city. And I like the fact that he's there on the first day. So he's not a distraction, because guys want a new start when they go places, but they still end up doing the same old thing. So if he's not going to participate in the offseason workouts and everything, like, he'd be exactly like he was with the Giants. So I think he's in a great headspace. I think he's, as far as having surrounding people who care about him, in Jarvis, his wide receiver coach, who coached him with the Giants and coached him in college. And I believe that him and Dorsey will have some connection together. That's why he brought him there. So I'm happy for him. I got great expectations for him, but they're no different than what they would have been with the Giants. My expectations is that he understands the magnitude of who he is, where he is, and taking advantage of the time. And I believe that he's going to do that. And all signs point to he understands the whole process, what's happened, and he understands being with the Cleveland Browns and the type of young talent they have surrounding that team.
He did a great job yesterday. He did. He answered those questions the exact way the Browns were hoping he would. He put to rest, at least for now and hopefully permanently, the idea of the wandering eye when he talked about New York, L.A.,
yes,
places that he has talked about wanting to be in the past, because it was a real question. Like, when you heard Cleveland, what did you think? And he said, I'm here to play football. You mentioned his life changed when he got drafted by the Giants. He communicated to both you and I a couple years ago, his life really changed when he made that catch.
Right.
When the level of fame.
And I think a lot of people are taken back. Like when he even looked at the audience and said, I'm not here for fame. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everything he's done from a branding, how he goes about, how he dances, how he brings a lot of attention to himself. But he was shocked by it.
He was shocked. He was shocked at the way he said members of his family started to treat him differently mm-hmm. after that catch. And fame, especially when it hits you in a rush like that, can be intoxicating. And I do think he leaned into it. He leaned into it with his hair mm-hmm. and with his dances and those things. But I think he maybe this offseason, because the trade was jarring to him. It was shocking to him, even though he had told you at the Super Bowl he thought it might happen. There was a moment of be careful what you wish for.
And like, even though he might have wanted to be traded.
Right. That's why I said be careful what you wish for. Like,
yes.
I want to be traded. Wait, now I'm traded. And so the downtime he took, the time away from everyone when he was in Paris, I think was good for him mentally of saying, okay, did I get too caught up in the brand as opposed to the person and the player? Because who the person and the player is, the player most notably, to answer your question, what are my expectations? That he gets back to being the best wide receiver in football. There's no reason to think he can't be 100 catches, 1,400 yards, double-digit touchdowns. Over the last 2 years, the two injured years for him, he's played 16 games. That's a full season. His production in those 2 years is 1,300 yards, 100 catches, 9 touchdowns. He's got a better quarterback. It's his first year coming into a season fully healthy in 3 years because 2 years ago he got hurt during the preseason, was when he first hurt his ankle. He turns 27 this year. This is supposed to be the beginning of his athletic peak. He is the best quarterback he's ever played with and the best infrastructure around him from other skill position standpoint he's ever played with. For all those reasons, he should be as dominant as he was in year three or year two, which is where he really announced himself as one of, if not the best receiver in the league.
I've been down on Odell for a number of years. I don't like all the extra noise. I don't like the antics. I don't like anything other than play football, even though it's great fodder for us to talk about. But Odell had a great offseason. He was quiet. He focused on what he needed to do. He didn't say mm-hmm. anything outlandish. He was really, really sort of concentrating on maybe going back to the Giants and doing his thing. And he earned points in my book. But this isn't going to be as easy as we set it up. Like, oh, here's a bunch of talent. Here's Cleveland. Everything's going to work. Are there challenges that lay ahead for him now that he's in Cleveland?
Absolutely. Because with all young players that have had some type of success, it's trying to figure out, okay, now I'm supposed to be as good as I've ever been athletically. And sometimes you don't have the results of that. So for me, the biggest challenge would be to fall back in love with the process. And that's, he loves working out. But one of his big issues with the New York Football Giants was they wouldn't let him compete at practice. So he used to always feel like, man, I don't like going over there to the building. I don't like being there in the offseason. So now he's actually got a guy. And this is one of the things that Randy Moss and I had that was very, very special. If I decided to show up to work and not give my best effort, or if my body didn't fill up to it, I knew they had someone that was better than me. So I knew there was always pressure to be at my best. And if Randy Moss took a day off, if he took a step off, if he took a play off, he knew on the other side there was someone that was going to be able to deliver it. So that yin and yang, every day being in the same room, competing with each other, but pulling for each other, I believe he has that and better than what we had, because Randy was a generation away from me. I had already had everything. Jarvis knows Odell. So them getting back to grinding, working out together, talking with Baker, building rapport with your teammates. Man, forget about where we're going and everything. Build up those relationships there in Cleveland. Fall back in love with the process of building yourself into a player. And I believe it might not be in the numbers, but I believe in his overall leadership and how he plays football. I believe we're going to see the best Odell that we've seen.
And Jarvis, we saw it in your favorite show, Hard Knocks. Jarvis will hold people accountable.
Oh, yeah.
And if Odell is having a bad day or taking a day off, Jarvis has the relationship with him, the trust with him, the bond, plus the natural personality of, no, I'm going to talk to you about this, and I might do it publicly. What's Odell's biggest challenge? The Browns are going to be under a level of scrutiny almost no player on this team has ever experienced. except for Odell? And can Odell be not just on the field, but a positive leader for this team, a bunch of guys his age or younger? This is how you deal with the entire national media being here every day. This is how you deal with when one of your teammates gets in trouble or when there's a bad headline or a bad few weeks of football. Mm-hmm. Because last year, any win the Browns got was a bonus. Any loss was part of the process. The guys that have been there longer than last year have been experienced nothing but losing where there's no expectations. Browns are the Vegas favorite to win that division. The Vegas favorite to win double-digit games, and there's going to be a lot of outside Cleveland media scrutiny and questions that Odell, in an odd way, is the one most equipped to deal with if he deals with it well and helping lead Baker along. Because Baker, while he's the leader of the team, Baker is a lot of the things we think are cute and fun from Baker. People can change on those real quick if you have a bad month of football, if you're not winning. And so I think Odell, if he's ready for that aspect of it, that could be a big challenge, but one he's excited to go after.
One interesting note, Odell called LeBron, asked him what he thought about Cleveland, and LeBron basically said, go do your thing. You're going to love Cleveland. So I thought that was interesting. Speaking of LeBron coming up, what has motivated him this offseason? That's next on First Things First. And you can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We're back right after this. Welcome back. We'll get to LeBron in just a second. But first, a couple of big plays from last night. Cavs, Suns, Josh Jackson goes baseline before putting that down.
Now, we haven't seen many highlights of Josh Jackson. Man, I was so high on him coming out of Kansas. Has been somewhat of a disappointment.
Yeah. Definitely. If the Suns can get Ja in the draft, if they can get a point guard, they've got the pieces to be a decent team.
Hornets and Jazz, Malik Monk taking the elevator to the top for this full extension alley-oop.
Devontae Graham threw it to him. That's another Kansas product, by the way, getting some run late season for Charlotte as they try to make their playoff push. I feel like they're going to be the odd team out in the East. It's unfortunate given how well Kimba's played all year.
Another highlight from this game, Donovan Mitchell, the big windmill after a nice lob. It didn't count, but, man,
goodness
that was
gracious.
Nice.
What is he doing? Was he trying? Oh. I was totally shocked by that.
So the whistle had blown earlier. That's why kind of everyone's kind of paused to a jog. But man, this is wild. Nice.
I didn't think he was going to do like that.
No. And he did it so nonchalantly. That's awesome.
But the lob was nice, too.
Every part of it. That was great.
All right, well, the season isn't officially over, it theoretically is. LeBron James. He's been shut down for the remainder of the season. All plans, talks, focus now shift to next year, which will be year 17 for LeBron. When asked how he will approach this summer, LeBron said, I like being uncomfortable in the offseason. I like being counted out. It motivates me. Big dose of to each his own. Nick, what do you expect of a motivated LeBron to look like next season?
I expect him to look on the court like he looked before the injury this season, like he looked last season, like he's looked for the last decade plus, which is the best player in the league. This is, I think, will shock people. This year in Los Angeles, not just before the injury, the whole season, number one in his career in points per minute, number one in his career in rebounds per minute, number two in his career in assists per minute. On a per minute or per 36 minute basis,
great.
As productive as he's ever been. Now, defensively, we obviously saw major lapses, particularly after the injury when he was a downright bad defensive player. Leadership-wise, this was a miss, a total miss for him. And team building, however much influence he had on it, whether it was 5% or 50%, that was a miss entirely. Magic, Palinka, and LeBron, whatever his influence was. But what I expect to see from LeBron is a more rested LeBron than we've seen in a decade, having 8 straight trips to the finals and now not even a trip to the first round of the playoffs. And the motivated factor is an odd one because I think he's always incredibly self-motivated to go be the best and to win a championship. But he has now the additional motivation that he hasn't had in quite some time of, oh, people are doubting how good I can be. And so I need to remind people early and often how good I can be. So that is my level of expectation. And if he comes out next year and doesn't meet it, then it will be, we are officially in a different phase of LeBron's career. But I'm not ready to say we are there yet.
Yeah, regardless of what athletes say, athletes are motivated by forces outside of themselves. The best athletes that we've seen the greatest at everything that they've done, not only do they have typically the talent and are the focus and are the drive, but they have something in them that will create new things in them so as they get older that they get better. I remember in preparing for my 15th season, I thought it was going to be my last season. I remember my trainer doing some unusual training techniques to try to get me in the best shape possible. I remember my body fat being like 5.7% at that time. And at 214 pounds, I remember running a 4.58 in a 40. It was the fastest 40 time I had ever run. And the only reason why was because these outside forces of saying that, man, it's getting ready. You're getting ready. Pass the baton to Randy Moss. This might be your last year. You want to go out with a Pro Bowl type season. So I was able to do things to my body that I couldn't do before. I think LeBron's going to be able to do that. I don't believe in extra motivation. I believe when you're already a driven person, when you get up in the morning, I believe you have the appropriate amount of drive for each day. It's just a matter of what bucket do you pull it from? Do I pull it from, man, I wonder about the people outside of basketball that are doubting me? Because you have your own doubts in yourself. What about my teammates? Can I be better for them? And then also on the basketball court, there was some deficiencies defensive-wise, free throw shooting. So there are some things that he can work on. I believe he'll do all those things because that's who LeBron is. We can't expect that part of him to change.
The free throw shooting one is very interesting because I don't think he's ever going to be an 85 to 90% free throw shooter. We have 16 years of evidence that he's not going to be. But can he get back into the high 70s, 76 to 78% where he was for the best years of his career, or at the very least into the mid 70s where he was for the entirety of his career until the last couple of years? Because that's critical. And if you're going to be playing in big playoff games, that point or two a game difference absolutely matters. We saw DeAndre Jordan over the course of a four-year stretch go from 39% to 48 to 58 to 68 to this year with the Knicks, small sample with the Knicks, he's at 78. So we have seen guys make drastic leaps in their free throw shooting. LeBron going in the other direction at this point in his career when his three-point shooting is going in a positive direction does not make sense, and that is a part of his game that needs to age well. At the end of his career, he needs to be a more reliable free throw shooter. And that, to me, it's not just putting the work in. It's committing to a routine. And it's committing to, I'm going to get with a shot coach. I'm going to do what they say. And even if I miss three in a row one game, I'm not going to abandon the routine, which had been his problem. So that is a very specific point, but I think an important point. Because there's no reason for a guy his height to be as bad of a free throw shooter as he is. The only all-time greats who were bad free throw shooters were guys 6'10 or taller, and he's not that size.
One quick question. You mentioned how productive LeBron's numbers were this year. I mean, far more productive than it's been in a while. Have we overreacted to the team's struggles? Because LeBron's been great this year, but we seem to have wanted to just douse the whole team because it seems like they're all going up in flames when he actually had a pretty good year.
No. If he's supposed to be the greatest player ever, as my partner says, no, this is what we're supposed to do. If he was the greatest player ever, he would have got that team to the playoffs. All right? Like, that's what this is about. It's about LeBron. Like, we can't act. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not Steph. He's not Harden. He's not Giannis. He is LeBron James. Right. And after eight straight finals and coming to the Lakers, and now we're the second day in April and LeBron's out of the playoffs, no, they deserve the heat because they made some critical, critical mistakes. And one being announcing the AD thing, LeBron voicing his opinion on that, how it affected the younger players, how they put the roster together. Those were two really big, big mistakes this year for the Lakers.
He is absolutely judged by a different standard, and he should be. Playoffs or no playoffs, for almost any player in the league, if you go 27-8-8, in your 55 games played, people are going to say, you had an all-NBA caliber season. because it's LeBron and it should be like this, it's okay, yeah, but in those 55 games you played, your team was 28-27, right, barely above 500. You're not going to make the playoffs. And by the way, second team All-NBA, while a lot of guys would, that would be their crowning achievement of their career, for you it's going to be the first time in a dozen years you're not first team All-NBA. It's going to break your record streak. So all those, we judge him by a different standard because we should judge him by a different standard.
Yeah, just like Devin Booker. He gets 50 on the Suns. LeBron's on a bad team. He getting 27-8-8 on a bad team. So we always discredit good numbers on a bad basketball team. And that's what the Lakers are right now. That's the reality.
All right, we got to take a break there. Coming up, a little more basketball. Are Kyrie and KD a lock to join forces here in New York? Next on First Things First. On Thursday, the countdown to the Cup continues on FS1 as Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe lead the U.S. women's national team against fellow World Cup contender Australia. Catch all the action Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
I know you call them a fellow contender, Jenna, but Australia's contending like every other team for second place.
Yeah.
Is U.S. going to take it?
All right, time for us to go viral. So after Tom Brady won his sixth Super Bowl last season, many wondered how much the 41-year-old had left in the tank. According to his first ever tweet, just joined Twitter, the GOAT is ready to hang up the cleats on top. Of course, we didn't lead the show with this. Why? He tweeted, I'm retiring. In my spare time, I'll be tweeting. Notice the April 1st timestamp.
Now, listen, Tom joined Twitter in a very smart way. He reached out to his buddy, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who's got millions and millions of Twitter followers. So The Rock would send out a tweet saying, my buddy at Tom Brady, so that all of a sudden people knew, oh, that's a Twitter account now because it wasn't before. Okay. And then that's how it was. What's up,
Two things. One, he had 20,000 tweets in about 10 minutes, which because of that, followers.
Yeah.
And two, is that Jenny Taft?
In the Photoshop?
Yeah, walking with.
I don't believe that.
Very similar eyes.
I don't believe that to be Jenny Taft.
Very similar eyes, very similar chin.
All right.
I got you, Jenna.
Thank you.
No, I very similar.
Photoshopped.
Good job, Jenna.
Time now for stories to start your morning. Odell Beckham was introduced to the city of Cleveland yesterday. Sat alongside his new teammates. See, what are your expectations for Odell in Cleveland?
I got great expectations because I believe the support and cast, not only young players around the same age, but John Dorsey, the head coach, Freddie Kitchens, the wide receiver coach who coached him in college and with the Giants. I believe that's important in Jarvis Landry's voice.
And listen, I expect Odell to go back on the field statistical production to have the best year of his career and be the best receiver in football. I don't think that's too high of expectations. He's entering his athletic prime. He's fully healthy. He's going to have a full offseason. He's got the best quarterback he's ever had with the best supporting cast he's ever had. Every box is checked for him to have 1,400-plus yards, 100-plus catches. That's what I expect from Odell this year.
All right, to the draft now. The Oakland Raiders are holding private workouts with both quarterback Kyler Murray and quarterback Dwayne Haskins. See, you think the Raiders will draft a quarterback?
I think the Raiders are doing something smart by working out both guys. I don't think they'll draft a quarterback in the first round. Now, after that, they should be in the business for a quarterback, but they're doing the right thing by working out the best two quarterbacks.
And there was an interesting note yesterday that Kyler's on-the-field stuff was delayed over an hour and a half because Gruden had him on the whiteboard so much longer than they expected, so much more time. Gruden's entire tenure in Oakland makes so much more sense if you look at it through the prism of he's out on Derek Carr and just can't say it. So I do think it's very on the board that Dwayne Haskins there at number four, that they jump and grab him.
To basketball now, LeBron said he will skip the World Cup this summer, but left the door open to play in the 2020 Olympics. Nick, you think LeBron will be on the Olympic team?
That would be unbelievable. It would be surprising if he wants to extend a season that long, which when it would be going into year 18 for him. It would be another, you know, add legacy points, I suppose, but I'm not surprised at all he's not going to play in the World Cup this summer. It would be surprising. It's surprising to me he's even opening the door to returning to the Olympic team in 2020.
It should always be an option. We saw not guys that had this type of tenure, but guys at the end of their NBA career, Larry Bird, Magic, that they got that last Olympic. What did it mean? It was just out of respect. And LeBron should have that same respect granted to him.
All right, moving on to Zion, who is almost certainly moving on to the NBA. Former Nike and Adidas exec Sonny Vaccaro said Zion will spark the biggest bidding war ever for a shoe deal. See, you agree?
Yeah, Sonny, man, he's a smart guy. He knows the business, man. He has the pulse of this business. And, yes, especially after the fact that he has the shoe explode on him, national TV, how that led to an injury. Of course, Adidas wants to get in the game. Nike was always in the game. So, yes, but buyer beware. I mean, he is not Michael Jordan. As far as selling shoes, there'll be another Michael Jordan. And I don't believe he'll be as popular in shoes as far as LeBron. He will get the biggest contract that we've seen, but I don't know of overall success that he has the type of charisma that will lead to shoe sales.
Oh, so I'm very interested in seeing how this works out because I think he will be a great shoe pitchman, and I think we just haven't seen his true personality at Duke this
year. This is what I've seen, though. Guys who dunk the basketball, because people know I can't dunk.
I can't do that. So how much is it? I get that part of it, but I'm talking about not necessarily for actual hoopers, but for young people, for grade schoolers or young high schoolers wanting to wear Zion's shoe. He's going to break LeBron's record if you don't adjust for inflation. LeBron's record is 7-year, $87 million as a rookie. He's going to get more raw dollars than that.
And finally, you make me laugh when you bring up inflation. Big names making big decisions about where they'll play. Much has been made of Kyrie and KD's upcoming free agency. Are they staying? If they aren't staying, where are they going? If they are going, are they going together? If they're going together, who's bringing snacks? Sorry, this is what my friends and I talk about. It was recently reported the relationship between the two is, quote, as strong as ever. Nick, what do you make of this?
I think they're going to most likely be playing together next year. And I think what has happened this year for both of them outside of basketball and kind of inside of basketball has only made that more likely. It's not surprising at all that their bond is as strong as ever when these are two guys that are dealing with very similar things. Two guys who have accomplished everything they could have ever hoped to accomplish on the basketball court. They have both hit shots to win championships, essentially. They have both. Kevin Durant's been at league MVP. Kyrie Irving's been as close as a player of his caliber is probably going to get, which is one tier just a tick beneath league MVP. And they have both found themselves unfulfilled. That this does not make me happy. This is not what I thought it would be. And so they have a bit of a kindred spirit in that regard. And from a basketball perspective, Kyrie is the most overqualified wingman in the NBA. And by wingman, I don't mean like wing player. I mean Robin to a Batman. He is great in that role. He is great as a guy who can take over games but does not have to every single night. We saw him play next to LeBron. He could do the exact same thing for Kevin Durant except have the ball in his hands more often because Durant doesn't need to initiate offense the way LeBron does. So from an on-court and off-court perspective, it all makes sense. We know Kyrie has, at least in the past, shown a urge to want to play in New York. Kevin Durant is setting up his off-the-court businesses in New York. All those the Knicks have two max salary cap spots. All those reasons to me say it makes perfect sense that these two guys end up in New York City.
All right, so here's the thing. We talk so much about these two guys being a little bit odd, right? A little different than other NBA players, which is why it's inexplicable. Mm-hmm. We don't really get them completely. I joked about bringing snacks. I'm a bit of an oddball. You would call me a bit of but you know who gets me? My friend Marnie. My friend Marnie gets me, which is why we're so successful out in the open plains. Right. We really kill it out there.
Right.
There's something to these two guys forming a friendship. They get each other. And maybe that in and of itself could be enough to be successful on a basketball court, regardless of whether we get them, whether we understand them,
sure.
Or whether the rest of the league does.
Or the rest of the world. Because a lot of time, when you're in that rarefied atmosphere as far as a locker room, and especially NBA, it's not a big locker room. You only need one or two guys to get you.
Correct.
And especially if it's the prominent voices, if it's the leaders, if it's the highest paid or the best players, if they happen to get you, because maybe LeBron didn't get Kyrie in Cleveland. I know Russ didn't get KD in OKC, and he's just a traveling circus with Golden State. So he's not about all the attention. So I believe that the respect that they have for each other and maybe the lack of respect that they received from the other prominent players that they played with. Now, I don't believe that Golden State and their stars, that they disrespect Kevin. I just believe him joining there, he didn't get the type of respect when he joined them, what he's done in the last couple finals that he thought he should get.
Especially when the guy who was the initial recruiter of Kevin Durant, long before the phone call from his car after Game 7 of the finals, during that 73-win season, Draymond was the one recruiting KD. And Draymond's the one that said, KD, leave, we don't need you. And so Steph is in a different place personally. Steph's got a wife, a couple kids. He, you know what I mean? Klay is his own guy. I think Klay and Kevin Durant, from everything I've read, have a good relationship. But there's, I don't know that he has a bond with anyone on that team the way he seems to have a bond with Kyrie. And from a basketball perspective, it would work great. So I think it makes perfect sense. I think a lot of things have been building towards this.
Just like I told you when we started the show, Jenna, don't worry. Nick's not going to get you. I get you.
He doesn't
I
get
understand.
Me. Thank
and that's why we
did
got a
successful
show. Did you
say you and your friend Marnie are out on the open plains?
Yes. Yep.
Like it's True Grit?
Yeah.
Like you would,
I
mean,
what I couldn't stuff? Believe you what, didn't even
well,
pick up
I wanted
on that.
To get to the basketball point, but I wasn't going to let it go. Jenna and Marnie riding big steeds out west.
To Big Ben Roethlisberger.
What are you talking about?
Much has been made of his somewhat passive-aggressive leadership style, and that's me being passive-aggressive about describing it. Ben has been known to take some shots at teammates and coaches, but he folds them into his weekly radio appearance. Many have called on him to stop doing the show. Well, according to reports, Roethlisberger is expected to do just that. In an effort to improve relationships with his teammates, he says he might actually stop doing the show. See, is this a step in the right direction for Ben?
It would be a great move, because the one thing that it would do, and what we haven't heard is fault. Like, you know something? Like, if a relationship goes bad, there's a tremendous opportunity for both people to be able to look at it and be like, you know, what could I have done? Or what could I do different? At this stage of Ben's career, I would hate to think that he's not growing, that he's not self-reflecting, looking at, man, we lost a lot of talent. How am I going to be able to win games? Maybe I might want to look at myself. All these things people are saying, I mean, even if 10% of them are true.
Exactly.
So I believe, and a lot of guys in the NFL locker room, they don't have the power of the voice. So even if a reporter comes to them and they're a role player and they say something, it's not going to be the same as Ben Roethlisberger. And I just know through my experience, you can't always be the team spokesperson every week, because if you tell the truth, man, you're going to put yourself at odds with your teammates in that locker room. So for me, man, I stopped doing a local radio show, not because I thought that it was beneath me. No, it wasn't good service to my teammates. Me commenting, people talking about, man, you guys got a lot of problems on the offensive line. How do I make this look good? Right. I mean, the quarterback just got sacked 7 times. How do I make that look good? Because everyone knows I was open. Well, at least that's what I'm going to say as a wide receiver. So it's really hard on your teammates, and you have to be really savvy and crafty to be able to avoid those landmines. That if you do a show, Tom Brady does, man, Tom Brady is coming with sweetness on his radio show when he does that national show. He's been doing it a couple years, but you can say what you want. Man, that's Lob City. I mean, let's put it on a tee, man. Tom, where do you want? Oh, you want a little bit lower? Okay, right there. Oh, no, I need a little bit higher today. Oh, okay. Like last year when they went through that tough spat in New England, man, he wasn't getting any tough questions. And Tom is smart enough, that's why he continues to do it. If he wasn't speaking in good light of his teammates and it was a negative reaction from his teammates, he would stop doing it also.
I want to give, if this ends up being true, if he stops doing this radio show, I want to give Ben Roethlisberger an enormous amount of credit. You asked a couple months ago, what's something Ben can change? And the first thing I said is, first step would be just quit doing the radio show. Not only because you stop adding just potential distractions, but it would be a signal to guys in that locker room. Hey, I know publicly the organization's got my back entirely. Mm-hmm. I know publicly the GM came out and said, it's me and 52 kids. This is a signal to my teammates. I know I got to do better too. And here is, it's not just me saying I'm going to do better. It's me doing something I enjoy doing, something that has brought me, forget the money, because
the money
doesn't matter. He enjoys the outlet.
Yes.
I am going to remove it even though I enjoy it, because I think you guys will appreciate that. And it shows, as the point you made is the best one. It shows that he knows, okay, maybe all of it's not true. Maybe Le'Veon wishing he and I could rap together and Antonio thinking it was, you know, I'm a jerk. But enough of it's true. There's enough of a kernel of truth to it that I need to, even in year going into year 17, I need to be better. I need to be more cognizant. I need to be more aware. And so I give a guy a tremendous credit for it is very difficult for rich, successful men or women to change behavior at that age.
You would know.
You are. Well, no. I've been around a lot.
Yeah.
And I would. I've been around a lot of men that feel like, look at what I've done. Look at where I came from, what I've accomplished. Why would it? Being me has gotten me here. Why would I adjust? But we can always do better. We can always be better. And so this would show a level of self-awareness that I wasn't sure Big Ben had. I wasn't sure if Big Ben had people around him that would say to him, hey, man, you shouldn't have done that, or if he had a bunch of yes men around him. And so I think it would be a tremendous signal to the locker room that he knows he needs to adjust or tweak some of his public behavior.
Because there's a feel like this is a new chapter in Pittsburgh, right? Now that Antonio Brown and Lev Bell are gone,
absolutely,
and he's the guy, there's this sense that, okay, now we're going to turn the page. Let's see if we get off on the right foot.
I guarantee you Mike Tomlin would be happy if this was made official. Because the thing that I've always been taught is the coach is the spokesperson for the team. Now, as lieutenants, as players, we go out and we repeat the message of the coach. And, man, they have been so far apart. What Tomlin says after the game, you know something? We lost that game, but we're going to get it right. It starts with tomorrow watching the film and self-correcting ourselves. And, man, Ben does his show. It's like, Are they on the same team?
Right.
So I believe they can get back closer together, leading Pittsburgh in the right way.
And from what I've been led to believe and what I was reading and talking to people at that radio station this week, and nobody would tell me if this was true or not, but it's why I'm going to trust the initial report, that when Ben initially said he wanted to do this, it was because he thought the city of Pittsburgh didn't know who he really was. And he wanted to give them an insight into who he is outside of quarterback of the team. And he also obviously had some really bad off-the-field allegations that he was trying to maybe soften himself to the public. Well, now the city knows who you are. Like, that box has been checked for good or for bad. And so the other thing I would say to Ben, and maybe someone did, is why are you still doing it? What is the win here? What is the positive that you are getting out of it other than it's cathartic, it's therapeutic? Well, you know, call a friend and tell them it doesn't have to be on a 50,000-watt radio.
There is no more prominent player we have in the NFL that could help their legacy more than Ben. Now, we got some guys. Aaron Rodgers, man, he needs a big year. But Eli Manning, like, not in the same class as those guys. Like, we got some big stories. But Ben Roethlisberger, man, he could change how people view him this year more than any of those other players.
All right, take a break. Coming up, back to Cleveland. Will Odell and Jarvis Landry be the best wide receiver duo in the league? That is still ahead on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, FS1 Basketball Insider Chris Broussard joins us now.
I mean, Jenna's amazing. Jenna's on the phone. And she's like, I gotta go.
And it's as if you don't have, you can just hang up. Just hang
not
up, put it down.
Not with Stephanie.
She was like, I gotta go.
Not with
I gotta Stephanie. Go. She won't let me go, guys. We're coming on. She won't let me go. Just hang
she
up.
She started a story as I'm like, I gotta
gosh.
Go.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to be
Broussard,
here.
You have a wife. You get it?
Yes.
Yeah,
there you go.
To her 9 seconds before
so
we're
working on.
Yeah,
we know.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.